Well, good evening and welcome to tonight's discussion on the May 5th statewide ballot proposal 15-1. My name is Nancy Shuey and I'm co-president of the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan political organization that encourages the informed and active participation of citizens in government, works to increase understanding of major public policy issues, and influences public policy through education and advocacy. The League welcomes all persons, both men and women. Are you man enough to belong to the League of Women Voters? to join us in building a more effective democracy. Please stop by our information table in the back and ask about becoming a member or sign up for our email list. Our program tonight is an effort to inform the public on the details of Proposal 15-1 and to encourage you to voice your opinion at the polls on May 5th. Our presenter this evening is Sue Smith, who is the current president of the League of Women Voters of Michigan. Sue's civic involvement includes serving as a school board member, a city commissioner, and mayor of the city of Mount Pleasant. Sue is retired from Central Michigan University, where she was a professor of management as well as an administrator. Sue will begin tonight's program with a PowerPoint presentation that lays out the various components of the proposal and what the possible outcomes might be. Following her presentation, there will be an opportunity for audience members to ask questions. You have been given note cards. If you need one, raise your hand. You can write your questions on that. As Sue is doing the presentation, if you think of a question, you can write it then while it's still fresh in your mind. We will then collect them, and Sue will answer them from the podium. So, one other point. We encourage you to write questions, not comments. We are here to learn about the proposal and then to make up our own minds. We are not here to try to convince one another to vote one way or the other. So, with all of those bases covered, I turn the meeting over to Sue Smith, president of the League of Women Voters of Michigan.
Thank you, Nancy. It's always fun to come back here to the Ann Arbor Library. I live just outside of Ipsy, and so this feels like home to me, even though I do a lot of traveling around the state. We are doing 23 of these programs. The League of Women Voters is sponsoring them in conjunction with local leagues, and I will be spending the last week of April up in the Upper Peninsula. Hopefully it doesn't snow. and giving programs up there for a week. So I'm really delighted that you could come this evening. A lot of information has been given out about the proposal, and I know that different people have different needs for information. Some people want just a little bit. Other people want huge amounts. And so I've tried to hit a sort of a compromise between those two extremes. And the purpose of this presentation is to give you enough information so that you can make an informed decision on May 5th when you go to vote at the polls. There is a lot of information that I could give you but won't, and there is a lot of information that I don't have that you might have a question about. So I will try to hit the high points and give you the kind of information that you need. So we're here to provide information. This is an educational presentation. The League of Women Voters does not have a position either opposing or supporting the proposal. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we got here, and there's been some talk about that in the news. The actual wording of the ballot, how much revenue would come if the proposal were to pass and where it would come from, how that money would be spent, some other information, who is supporting it, who is opposing it, and then we'll see if we have time for anything else. So the legislative history, how did we get to this point anyway? Well, back in 1997, a state fuel tax was passed at 19 cents a gallon. That's a flat rate. And that's what we all pay still. And it hasn't changed since 1997. Well, of course, we all know the cost of a lot of things have gone up, including the cost of asphalt, steel, and so forth. So this presented a problem, obviously, in terms of our trying to find the money to pay for the roads. So when Governor Snyder gave a State of the State speech in 2013, he pointed out that the roads were a problem, and he recommended increasing the gas taxes and the registration fees, the vehicle registration fees, to raise $1.2 billion to fix the roads. Well, of course, the legislature had their own ideas about what should be done to fix the roads. And in 2014, the House passed legislation, and so did the Senate, but neither one liked the other's bill, so they were at an impasse. Well, I don't need to tell you, this is how the roads are in Michigan now, with only 17% being considered in good condition. Finally, a compromise was reached near the end of 2014 during what we refer to as the lame duck session. It's the end of the two-year term, and many of the legislators are not going to be able to run again because of term limits, or they weren't reelected. So a lot of them are on their way out the door, and so a lot of legislation gets passed at the very last minute during this so-called lame duck in December of the end of the session. This was December 2014. So they decided to ask the voters to approve the Michigan constitutional amendment that would raise the sales tax and give 10 new laws effect. So it's not just the sales tax that we're talking about. So the governor met with the leadership of the House and the Senate, and they came to this agreement, which we now see on the ballot. And the House and the Senate narrowly passed it as well, and that's what put it on the ballot. This is half the ballot language. Now, in order, some of you probably already know this, but the Board of Canvassers has to approve the ballot language. And so somebody sends out some as a draft, and then those supporters and those who are opposed put in their 2 cents worth as to whether they like the language or whether they think this should be added or that deleted. And there's a lot of negotiation that goes on before it's actually approved by the State Board of Canvassers. And, of course, that can always be challenged in the courts as well, but this time it wasn't. So this is what we're voting on, a proposal to amend the state constitution to increase the sales and use tax from 6% to 7%. To replace and supplement the reduced revenue to the school aid fund and local units of government caused by the elimination of the sales tax on gasoline and diesel fuel for vehicles operating on public roads, and to give effect to laws that provide additional money for roads and other transportation purposes by increasing the gas tax and the vehicle registration fees. That's the first half. It would also eliminate the sales or use tax on gasoline and diesel fuel for vehicles on public roads. That is what you pay when you go to the pump. You wouldn't be paying any sales tax in the future. It would increase the portion of the use tax that's dedicated to the school aid fund. It would expand the use of the school aid fund to include community colleges and career technical education, and it would prohibit the use for four-year colleges and universities. You might remember that this last go-around, they took money out of the school aid fund to give to four-year colleges and universities. And it would also give effect to laws that would do the following. Increase the sales tax to 7%. You see, if we vote yes on the ballot amendment, that simply changes the Constitution and allows a maximum of 7% instead of the current 6%. It doesn't actually say we're going to have a 7% sales tax. It just says we could. So then there would have to be a law saying, okay, we can and now we will. It would increase the gasoline diesel fuel tax and adjust it annually for inflation. It would increase the vehicle registration fees, and it would dedicate revenue for roads and other transportation purposes. It would expand competitive bidding and warranties for road projects. It would increase the earned income tax credit. Should this be adopted, yes or no? Okay, that's what you're going to see on the ballot. And if you hadn't had a chance to think about it ahead of time, it might be kind of tough. So I'm glad you're all here, and you can share information with your friends and neighbors. I think everybody got a handout, which is kind of a summary of what we're going to talk about tonight. It has the ballot language on it, and then it also has sources of revenue and how the money will be spent. And I'm going to talk about that in more detail. So the information I'm going to share with you tonight comes from the House Fiscal Agency, which is the nonpartisan arm of the government. They analyze bills and figure out how much it would cost if it were to be passed. So if we look first of all at the revenue, okay, how much money are we going to get if we agree to increase the state sales tax from 6 to 7%? Well, as I said, right now the Michigan Constitution allows 6%, and that's what we have. But, of course, we are not paying sales tax on groceries or prescriptions. If the ballot proposal passes, that limit would be raised to 7%, and the revenue as a result to the state would increase by an estimated $1.6 billion in fiscal year 2017 and 18. Now, I want to explain why we use the year fiscal year 2017 and 18. The reason is because it's going to take that long for some of these laws to actually take effect. And also, some of us who've been around a while might remember that Governor Engler, remember Governor Engler? He issued bonds a number of years ago to pay for roads back then. And we are still paying on those bonds. And the proposal would permit paying off those bonds in the first 2 years. So it would be 2017-18 before it would actually take complete effect. Also, the sales tax on gasoline that you pay at the pump would be eliminated if this proposal passes. So that means that $829 million less and sales tax would be taken in, even with the increase of the sales tax from 6 to 7%. I know it's warm in here. There's a lot of figures. If I see people toppling off the chairs, then I know that I have to tell jokes or something. Okay, well, where do we rank along with everybody else in the country in terms of the sales tax? We are 37th. And some states allow local sales tax in addition to the state sales tax. So Tennessee is the highest. They have a 7% state sales tax, and they allow local taxes, which can be as much as 2.45. So depending on where you live in Tennessee, you could be paying 9.45% sales tax. You can see Michigan is 6%. If you look just at the totals, Indiana is 7%. Ohio could be as high as 7.1 and so forth. So there are a lot of states that have taxes higher than Michigan does, state sales taxes. Now, if you live in Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, Oregon, you don't pay any sales tax. Okay, so that's the revenue that would come in from the
sales tax, motor fuel taxes. Right now, we pay 19 cents a gallon, and that's a flat rate, and that's been the rate of the gas tax, as I said, since 1997. We pay sales tax, and we pay 18 cents a gallon as a federal fuel tax. Now, of course, it all depends on which example you take, right? How much was the wholesale price? How much was the retail price? But if the ballot proposal would pass, the new state fuel tax would be 42 cents a gallon, but there'd be no sales tax. And the federal fuel tax would still continue at 18 cents unless the Congress does something. So the total revenue going to the state road and bridge improvements would increase by $1.3 billion. So all of the taxes on fuel would go to the roads. None of the state sales tax would go to the roads. It's the fuel tax that would go. Well, where does the money come from for the transportation fund? You can see the 50% of it, 58% of it comes from the state currently, 33% from the federal government, 8% from the general fund, and then 2% another source, just other sources. And the gross appropriation for 2014-15 was the sum of those on the right-hand column, or $3.7 billion. If the proposal passes, there'd be another $1.25 million to the state restricted fund, so we'd have a total of $5 billion for roads instead of 3.7. Okay, there'd be some other changes as well. Right now, when you buy a new car, for the first 3 years, when you pay your vehicle registration fee, you get your license plate, it goes down by 10% for the first 3 years to reflect the fact that the value of your car is decreasing. If the ballot proposal passes, it would stay the same. It wouldn't go down. Then it would raise the annual fees for heavy commercial trucks, and that would increase revenue by $39.8 million. And, I didn't do that right. This one right here would impose a surtax for hybrid and electric vehicles because they're not paying any gas tax, and so that's how they would help to pay for the roads. Okay, so here's a summary then of the revenue. Increasing the sales tax to 7% would bring in $1.559 billion. But then, of course, we'd have to give up the $829 million because we're not going to have a sales tax on motor fuel anymore. So the additional revenue from increasing the sales tax overall to 7% would bring in $729.8 million. Increasing the motor fuel tax would bring in $1.3 billion, or 61% of the total. Increasing the registration fees would bring in $62 million. Increasing truck registration, $39 million. And imposing a surtax, $600,000. So that's where all the money is going to come from. So we'd have a total estimated new revenue of $2.1 billion. Okay, that's the revenue side. Coming from the sales tax increase, the gas tax increase, the fact that we're not going to be able to depreciate the registration fees on our new vehicles, increased truck registration fees, and a surtax on electric and hybrid cars.
Okay, so what are they going to do with all that money? $1.255 billion. This is estimated. And we're talking about large numbers, right? So this is an estimate. And new funding would go to the roads in 2017-18. And almost $500 million of that would go to the state road fund. About the same amount would go to the county road commissions. And $273 million to cities and villages. So that's how the new money would get divided up. Now, the majority of the money is in the transportation fund, and there's legislation from 1951 that says how that money can be divided up. About 10% is taken off the top for the bridge fund and for public transportation, and then you can see about 40% goes to MDOT, 40% to the road commission, and about 22% to the city and villages. And then there's more money that the legislature can authorize out of the general fund. Of the there will be $116 more million dollars in increased funding for public transportation, and there is a formula that decides how much money is going to go for the state's complete transportation system, including roads, bridges, public transportation, and so forth. Now, another expenditure will be the earned income tax credit. You might have seen the ad on television that talks about only 60% of the new money, total new money that would be raised, is going to go to roads, and 40% will go for, I believe they call it special interests. Okay, these are the special interests. The earned income tax credit. As a result of the increased income, increased revenue, $442 million new dollars would go to the general fund, and of that, $269 million would be set aside for the earned income tax credit, and the rest would just stay in the general fund for other purposes. Now, if you're not familiar with the earned income tax credit, it's something that you can get on your federal tax, when you file your federal tax return. And the state had adopted a formula that if you were a Michigan resident, in addition to getting the federal income tax credit, you could also get a state income tax credit that was equal to 20% of the federal tax credit. And in 2012, the legislature dropped that 20% to 6%. So currently, if you're getting an earned income tax credit on your federal, on your state, you're only going to get 6% instead of the former 20%. But if the ballot proposal passes, it would go back to 20%. This would translate into an average credit of $446 versus the current $138. In the state of Michigan. The school aid fund would also get some money. Remember that if this passes, we would no longer be paying a sales tax on gasoline. Well, the sales tax is currently used to give pay to the schools and local communities. So if the sales tax goes away, they have to find some way to reimburse the school aid fund because they took it away, the support they had from the sales tax on gasoline. So $200 million per year in increased funding would go to local public schools. And the sales tax is going to replace the $752 million that is currently generated by sales tax that is not going to be there, that currently goes to schools and local governments.
and universities could not receive money from the school aid funding. Well, lots of times people have questions about the school aid fund, and they especially want to know, well, what happened to that lottery money? So here are the sources of the school aid fund as it currently exists. You can see that 21% comes from the income tax, 46% from the sales tax, 15% from the state education tax, 6.5% from the lottery, 4% from a use tax, and 7% other. And what happened on the lottery? A lot of you probably already know this. After the lottery was approved, and we had the money going from the lottery to support schools, the legislature reduced the amount of money they took out of the general fund to support schools. So that's why people always want to know, well, what happened to the lottery money? It's there, but the legislature just reduced their allocation. Well, another important expenditure is revenue to local governments. People who are knowledgeable about local governments and care about local governments know that the amount of money going to local communities has been reduced the last few years by the state legislature. So if the proposal passes, this would be an attempt to restore some of that money. Right now, $1.26 million goes to local governments. And if the ballot proposal passes, an additional $111.1 million in revenue sharing would go to local governments. It wouldn't restore everything that's been cut, but it goes a long ways towards doing that. And then $20 million would go to the Michigan Conservation and Recreation Legacy Fund. So here's a summary of how all that money is going to get spent. $1.255 billion for roads, 12% of it to the earned income tax credit, 9% to the school aid fund, 8% to the general fund, 5% to public transportation, 5% to revenue sharing, and 1% to recreation improvement, for a total of $2.145 billion. So when the ads say, well, only 60% goes for roads, it's true, and this is how the other 40% would be spent. Earned income tax credit, school aid fund, general fund, public transportation, revenue sharing, and recreation improvement. Well, what's it going to cost the average person? Changing the gasoline tax depends on, of course, the price of the wholesale price. And the sales tax, it depends on what you buy, of course. If you food and prescriptions, you don't have to pay taxes on. If you bought a $200 TV, the sales tax would be $12. Now it would be $14 if it passed. The registration fee would be increased to the extent that you could no longer depreciate over the first 3 years, your registration fee. Car repair savings. We've had a lot of discussion about, well, what would be the average car repair savings? And all that anybody's been able to come up with is the average car repair per driver is $357. I find that hard to believe, but that is what MDOT says. And, of course, it doesn't mean just how much it would cost to fix your car because of the roads. That's just the car repair. Well, how much would communities get? Well, we've got this by counties, so there's Washtenaw County. Right now, Washtenaw County is getting $17.5 million in road funds from the state. They would get an additional $3.9 million the first year, and then it would go up after that because, as I said, the first 2 years were paying off the bonds from back when Governor Engler issued those bonds. And the idea would be cost $800 million of the road funds the first year and $400 million of the road fund the second year to pay off those bonds. And the third year, those bonds would be paid off and it would all go to the roads then. Now, here's something that needs to be understood. Some parts of the plan can be changed by the legislature, even if the ballot proposal passes. Here's the part they can't change, because this would be part of the Michigan Constitution if the ballot proposal passed. There'd be an increase in the maximum amount allowable for the sales tax. The gas tax, the sales tax on gasoline would go away. The increased sales and use tax funds would be dedicated to the school aid fund. The universities would be removed from being able to receive money from the school aid fund. And the increase in sales tax funds would be dedicated to revenue sharing. So if you vote yes, this will happen. These are the laws that were passed, and they will only take effect if the ballot proposal pardon me. I need to drink a bottle of water in Ann Arbor. Excuse me. These laws taking effect if the constitutional amendment passes, but the next legislature could change them if they wanted to, because they're not put into the Constitution. These things right here, if it pass, if the ballot proposal passes, will become part of the Constitution. These laws, have, they're laws, they've been passed. They'll only take effect if the ballot proposal passes on May 5th, but the legislature can change any of these. They can change the amount of tax on the wholesale price of fuel. Remember, it was going to start at 42 cents a gallon, and it will go up according to inflation, but never more than 5 cents a year. They can set a new maximum for the sales and use tax, because right now, it's if the ballot proposal passes, it'll go up to 7%. But the new legislature, if it wanted to, could put it back to 6% or any other one if they wanted to. Oh, thank you.
Hard candy for all of them.
Thank you, Harvey. They could change the earned income tax credit, the vehicle registration fee, the at-risk program in schools, and the idea of paying off the debt on the roads, and the road warranties and competitive bidding. So all of that is going to go into effect, but the new legislature could change their mind about all of that if they wanted to. So what will happen if you vote yes? It will amend the Michigan Constitution to raise the sales tax, the maximum allowed. It will exempt motor fuels from a sales and use tax. It will stop higher education inclusion in the school aid fund, and it will activate those 10 other laws, which we just talked about, which provide funding for roads and other purposes. What we did was, as a league, we gathered information from the people who supported the proposal and from who opposed it, and we're just telling you what they said. We're not saying anything about the veracity of what they're saying, okay? We're just passing along the information. Provides funds to make roads safer for everyone. Guarantees all taxes paid at the pump go to transportation. Guarantees constitutional funding for education goes where it promised and doesn't take money from schools or local governments. Restores the income earned income tax credit for the working poor to 20% of the federal credit, which would offset the increased taxes, requires road builders to provide warranty on roads they build, fixes roads now, saving state money and reducing motorist repair costs.
Okay, so who are these folks? The AFL-CIO, Business Leaders for Michigan, the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, the governor and some Michigan legislators, Michigan Environmental Council, Michigan League for Public Policy, the Michigan Municipal League, Michigan Sheriff's Association, and the Sheriff's Club, the Sierra Club, and the Small Business Association of Michigan. If you vote no, it would stop enactment of the constitutional amendment. It would keep things as they are. The maximum sales tax would be 6%. It would be applied to gasoline at the pump, and it would allow universities to be covered by the school aid fund. And those 10 laws that are tied to the passing of the amendment would go away. Who's against it? Why do people say they're against it? Because they say the sales tax is regressive. It would impact middle-class families. It allocates only 60% of the funding increase for roads and the 40% to the other purposes. It activates 10 bills, including several that deal with rates, which can be altered by the legislature without a vote of the people. Motorists may no longer be able to use their vehicle registration fees as an itemized deduction in the federal income tax. I guess you don't know that until it actually happens. And the people who are against it include Citizens Against Middle-Class Tax Increases, Coalition Against Higher Taxes and Special Interest Deals, Concerned Taxpayers of Michigan, the National Federation of Independent Business, Protect Michigan Taxpayers. This is supposed to make this simple. This should be a test to see how many people really understand what this is. Paul Egan, who's a reporter for the Detroit Free Press, summed up the whole discussion of the ballot proposal in this way. The essence of the plan is to remove the sales tax, which is not spent on roads, from fuel sales, and impose higher fuel taxes, which are spent on roads, without sharply increasing the pump price of gas. The sales tax hike would then replace and supplement the money schools and local governments would lose from having the sales tax removed from fuel sales. The first time I read that, I didn't see that it was very helpful, but others did, so I thought I would include it, and if it helps you to understand, then that's great. So I think I will stop right there, and we have had an opportunity for people to write questions, and if you raise your hand with your question, we have some league members who will pick up those questions, and I will attempt to answer them in the meantime. Okay, here's the first question. Is there any language which, and I'm going to read them because this is being videotaped so that the library will have it on their website for anybody who wasn't able to come tonight, and there will be a link to it from a league website so that it'll be able to be accessible to people across the state. So I need to read the questions, number one, so you'll know it, and also so that anybody who happens to be watching would also be able to know what the question was. Is there any language which prohibits reductions in the contribution to school aid fund or revenue sharing to local governments from the general fund? No. Does the school aid fund overall go up in money, down, or break even? It would go up if the ballot proposal passes. More money would go to the school aid fund than would be lost. It's about $300 a pupil per year. Will this PowerPoint be on the league site? The PowerPoint isn't, but PDFs of the slides are. And the reason is, if we put the PowerPoint up there, then anybody could change it in any way that they wanted to and say the league said this or the league said that. But there will be that information will be available in a PDF form. We currently spend $3.5 billion on roads. The new tax adds $1.2 billion, which raises our... Yes. Well, I guess I'd have to go back to that slide. It does. I added it up myself with my calculator this afternoon to make sure that that was true. It's not 1.2 million, it's 1.2 billion. So that there, we would have a total of 5 billion available for roads, 1.2 new billion to the 3.5 billion that we already have. Oh, there was? Okay, recreation improvement. Who would manage and what are they managing? I don't know the specific information on the recreation improvement fund. I believe there was about a $20 million increase to go to that fund. I'm assuming it goes through the Department of Environmental Quality. What will change in the schools and roads funding for 2016? As I said, it's based on 2017-18, because that's when it all would go into place. And, of course, the bond fund would not affect the school and roads. So I believe it was a $300 increase in the 2016-17 and another $200 increase in 2017-18. Have any legislators voted for this package changed their minds? I don't know, but a lot of them are no longer there, and there are a lot of new ones. And so it's impossible to predict what would happen if this were to not to be supported, because then it would be back in the legislators' lap to figure out how are we going to find the money to fix the roads. And you've probably read lots of other ideas that people have put out there, legislators have put out there about what they think the legislature should do. You know, it's kind of interesting. One of the things that a lot of us talk about is the dysfunction in the U.S. Congress or in the Michigan legislature, and we just are unhappy that people don't compromise. Well, this is a granddaddy of all compromises, right? There's something for everybody. And that was the only way they were able to get it through the legislature, and I think it only passed by one vote in the Senate. And, of course, that's the way laws get made. You know, they say you don't want to see laws or sausage being made. It necessarily involves compromise in order to get people to vote for various parts of it. So we say we want them to compromise. Okay, they did. And this is what they gave us. How much school aid funding money goes to the four-year universities now? I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that question. But I know that that was something that happened recently, and it hadn't happened before, and some people were unhappy about it. Can the legislature reduce any tax in response to 15-1 if it passes, thus negating the expected revenue increase? Yes. The legislature could reduce the motor fuel taxes, which under this plan would be 42 cents a gallon. They could make that whatever they wanted it to be. They could reduce, they don't have to raise the sales tax to 7%, even though the Constitution would allow it. They can set that anything up to and including 7%, but they wouldn't have to. They wouldn't have to raise it to 7% if they didn't want to. What is the amount of the surtax and rationale on the electric hybrid vehicles? I don't know the answer to that. If you go to the MDOT website, they have more specific information on that kind of question. In fact, on your handout, on the lower right-hand side, there are a number of sources of where you can go to get more information. On vote411.org, there will be the same information that's on this handout, and also the pros and cons will be listed there. You can go to the Michigan House Fiscal Agency or the Senate Fiscal Agency, the Citizens Research Council, and also MDOT has information. Do universities get money from a state source other than the school aid fund? Yes, they do, quite a bit. The money they get from the state aid fund is quite is relatively small compared to the appropriations that they get as a university. Does this eliminate all funding to Michigan universities from the state? No, it would just eliminate money going from the state aid fund. And as I say, that only happened this budget cycle. Before that, they didn't take money from the state aid fund to give to universities. They gave it all to public schools. How will higher education be funded if it's eliminated from the school aid fund? Okay, that's kind of a continuation. It'll be continue to be funded by the legislature through appropriation. Any other questions? I think maybe I have gone through all of them. Thank you very much. Don't forget to vote.